This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on November 15, 2012. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
Therefore, the next matter on the agenda is Draft Advisory Opinion 2012-34, Freedom PAC and Friends of Mike H. My understanding is we have counsel with us today.
Telephone.
Mr. Levy, are you there? This is Sean Worth from the Commission.
My understanding is we have counsel with us today.
Mr.
Levy?
I am. I'm just trying to mute my computer.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. I will turn you over to Chair Hunter. Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Levy. How are you today?
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us. First, we'll have a presentation by the Office of General Counsel, Mr. Nevin Stepanovic. And as you know, there's two drafts on the record right now, and also a late submitted comment that we've just been handed to us right now. I don't know if somebody from the Office of General Counsel has been able to email that to you yet.
I didn't catch what he just said.
Okay, there are two drafts on the public agenda in response to your advisory opinion request. In addition, we just received a late submitted comment from Perkins Coie, Mr. Mark Elias, who was actually just with us a few minutes ago, and we haven't even had a chance to read it, but it just came in today, just now.
Needless to say, I have not seen it.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair Hunter, and good morning, Commissioners. Agenda documents 1278 and 1278A respond to a request for advisory opinion filed on behalf of Freedom PAC and Friends of Mike H. Freedom PAC is an independent expenditure-only committee. Friends of Mike H. is a principal campaign committee of Mike Haridopoulos. Mike Haridopoulos was a candidate in Florida's 2012 Senate primary election, but withdrew his candidacy before the primary election. He was not a candidate in the 2012 general election and does not hold any federal office. The requesters ask two questions. First, may Freedom PAC accept a contribution of $10,000 or more from Friends of Mike H? And second, if the answer to question one is no, may Freedom PAC accept a contribution of up to $5,000 from Friends of Mike H? There are two drafts before you. Agenda document 1278 concludes that Freedom PAC may accept a contribution of $10,000 or more from Friends of Mike H. Agenda document 1278A, on the other hand, concludes that Freedom PAC may not accept a contribution of $10,000 or more from Friends of Mike H. because Friends of Mike H. may not make contributions in excess of $5,000 per calendar year to Freedom PAC. The Commission received one comment on the advisory opinion request and one comment on the advisory opinion drafts that was received at 10 o'clock this morning, just before the meeting. I'll be happy to address any questions that you may have. Thank you.
Thank you. And my understanding is that the deadline for this advisory opinion is December 3rd. And just so the public knows, it doesn't look like we'll be able to vote on this draft today. And as I believe we've told counsel, we may request an extension till December 7th in order to consider this again at our next public meeting. It's also possible that we won't have to wait until then, but we may ask you to do that, sir, at the end of this discussion. Are there any questions or comments for Mr. Levy on the drafts? Madam Vice Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't really have any questions or comments on the drafts per se, except to say that we were hoping to get some comments on the drafts. We didn't get them out as promptly as we could have. But as you said, we're really at the we have a lot more time on the 60 days on this one. I appreciate that we got a comment this morning, and we may get others. I'm interested in reading this comment and any others that get filed, but since it was just handed to me, it would be inaccurate to say that I've studied it and had a chance to fully think it through. So I appreciate that we have a little bit more time on this, and I personally would not be prepared to vote today so that we can consider this comment. And if anybody else out there wants to comment on this, we'd be happy to hear from you.
This is Larry Levy, if I may. Obviously, I don't know what Mr. Elias has said. Hopefully, he supports Draft A, but I will look forward to reading it. The two drafts.
You're in luck, Mr. Levy.
He does.
Excuse me?
He does support Draft A. He urges the commission to reject Draft B.
Well, I must say that this is not the first time I have agreed with Mr. Elias's sage of reading of the law. The two drafts are very similar. They both agree that the committee can make a Mike Age can make a donation to an independent expenditure committee. The only distinction is whether the donation may be in excess of $5,000. And Draft B focuses on essentially one clause or one word. 300.60D indicates that entities that are directly or indirectly established, financed, maintained, controlled by or acting on behalf of one or more federal candidates or individuals holding federal office. And at the time that Mike H. was established, it was established for a candidate in the primary seeking federal office. However, Mike H. ceased to be a candidate. 300.61D, which says you must follow the limits, interestingly says no person described in 11 CFR 300.60 shall solicit, receive, direct, transfer, or spend funds. The only person referred to in 60 is a federal candidate or office holder. There is no federal candidate or office holder involved in this any longer. Once the candidate withdraws, there is no such person. Indeed, Mike H., the human being neither a candidate or office holder, could go out and solicit money for Freedom PAC or any other independent expenditure group in any amount of money because he's no longer a candidate. In addition, the commission has on many occasions, most recently in the Perry case, Advisory Opinion 2012-6, has stated that a connected committee can file a Form 1 and become a non-connected committee and make these donations, despite the fact that the very narrow reading Draft B gives to the law would say this committee was initially established by a federal candidate. So the committee clearly has the authority to interpret this and has interpreted it that once you're no longer a federal candidate, you could change the nature of the committee. Mike H. doesn't want to currently change the nature of the committee, but recognize rather these changed circumstances and not have this, not arbitrary, but not have this limitation placed on it. Similarly, Common Sense 10 allowed the committees to raise and spend unlimited funds so long as it wasn't done by a federal candidate or office holder. And then in 2011-12, when it changed to majority PAC, said, well, the office holders and candidates could appear at a function, can speak on behalf of the super PAC. They just can't ask for more than the $5,000. And that is because they are an active office holder or candidate. No other reason. So it seems to me that we are being, in Draft B, rather silly in the way we read this regulation in such a limited way, especially recognizing the way we treat candidates and office holders being allowed to attend events, seek funding, convert the committee to a non-connected committee, et cetera. And I believe the commission can interpret it in any way it so desires and has functionally interpreted it by allowing it to change to a non-connected committee in the past without having to declare 441 unconstitutional, as Draft B suggests. Indeed, as I just heard this commission tell Mr. Elias, I don't know if I got it exactly right, you have no law or regulation allowing the commission to say the DNC no longer has to abide by the 20-year-old agreement. But if four commissioners vote to allow that to happen, I guess it's okay. I think the commission has ample authority and leeway, and that this is, in fact, a cogent and rational way to read the regulation.
Thank you very much, Mr. Levy. Any other questions or comments, Madam Vice Chair?
Okay, I will ask Mr. Levy a question. And, Mr. Levy, just so you know, I really haven't made up my mind on this, but I would like to give you an opportunity to respond to an argument that the committee was an entity, is an entity that was established, financed, maintained, or controlled by a candidate. It was established by a candidate. And under 441 IE, the law says that such a committee that was established by a candidate is not allowed to direct, transfer, or spend funds unless they are subject to the limits, prohibitions, and reporting requirements of the Act, arguably while the money the argument would be, and I want to give you a chance to respond specifically to this argument, the argument would be that while the money came in limited chunks, it would be going out in one gigantic chunk in a series of gigantic chunks that were at least in excess of the normal contribution limits. So why don't we have a problem under 441 IE?
As I think I indicated, the fact that there is no longer a federal candidate who is making a decision, controlling, or in any way connected to this committee.
But the committee was established by a candidate, right?
And so is Governor Perry's committee and countless other committees that have simply filed a Form 1 and said, well, now we're a non-connected committee, and we can do whatever we want. And this commission has repeatedly authorized that. And I said most recently, this very commission, the six commissioners sitting today, authorized that in Governor Perry's situation. So I think it's a distinction in form over function, and it's just unduly restrictive. I also believe this is a highly unusual situation. There are very few failed candidates who are sitting on a bunch of money at the end of their candidacy to give away. At least in my experience, you're far more likely to find a campaign committee that continues to be in existence because it can't pay its debt.
All due respect, Mr. Levy, it frequently happens that people leave office with a whole pot of money left over. So it's not – I think this actually could happen again, perhaps not with a failed candidate, but with a candidate perhaps who is successful and then decides he's going to retire or resign from office. So I think maybe the ramifications are a little bit bigger than you're suggesting, but that's not
right. But, Commissioner, even if that does happen, if that – former federal official files a Form 1 and says, I'm now a non-connected committee, despite the fact that that person may have been a candidate and federal official for eons, they no longer have any limitations.
And I think that's the crux.
Why shouldn't the rule have been applied that once established, by a federal candidate, you can never change your stripes.
And I take it that's the crux of your argument, that if, indeed, he could reconstitute himself as a different – the committee could reconstitute itself as a multi-candidate committee and then another kind of committee and then do the same thing, then why make it go through that extra step? We might as well just say, you know, go ahead.
But under those circumstances, and I think Draft A very simply and succinctly establishes that.
Thank you.
Commissioner McGann.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a couple things I want to state, because since Mr. Levy's not here, he can't read body language, that I'm in favor of Draft A, so at least he knows where certain folks are. Two more points. One is a question for Mr. Levy. Generally, is there any do you have any issue with anything in Draft A? You haven't had a long opportunity to comment. I don't think you've filed written comments on it, but I want to give you the opportunity to – and it may be you have no comments and you're fine with Draft A. I want to make sure we're not missing anything. And the second question goes to the discussion you just had with the vice chair. There's really has never been an issue with a campaign committee converting to a PAC, to a non-connected committee. And the question I have for let's reverse it. Let's make this the first question. When that campaign committee converts to a PAC, is that actually reconstituting a new committee? Or in the eyes of the FEC, is it the same committee? Meaning, do they get a new FEC ID number, or is it the same ID number? Because if it's the same ID number, this is really just semantics, because it's not even really converting, but I don't think anyone has a problem with folks converting to a quote-unquote new committee. Anyone at the table have any thought on that, maybe on the staff director side?
Ms. Ciccone?
Yep. The same ID number is used. So when they convert, they're just actually amending their Form 1 to change the committee type, and then the committee continues with the ID number, because they're not actually terminating. If they terminated, that would end that ID number, and then they'd have to register again to be given a new ID number. So they are maintaining the same ID.
Could I follow up on that? Mm-hmm. If this converted committee with the same ID number that was originally established by a federal candidate receives a contribution in excess of the candidate limits, meaning they get a $5,000 check, which is a PAC limit, would you send a RAD letter saying that that committee has potentially received an excessive contribution because the committee was originally established by a federal candidate and therefore subject to the candidate limits, even though it's become a PAC?
No.
No. Because once it becomes a PAC, at least with respect to how RAD, and I assume audit, I don't want to assume the head of audit's at the table for future matters on the agenda, but my assumption is at least with respect to the nitty-gritty of reports, the fact that it was originally established by a someone who was a candidate at the time literally goes away once it converts to a PAC.
That's correct, because
that's correct.
It's now a new committee type.
Okay. All right. So back to Mr. Levy. Any thoughts on Draft A? I support it, but I want to make sure I'm not that I don't want to fail to give you an opportunity to correct anything or help my thinking on Draft A.
No, as I indicated, I thought Draft A very simply and succinctly comes to the right conclusion. If I remember correctly, I think it did cite the Rick Perry decision that this commission issued earlier in the year as part of its basis. It did not go into a lengthy explanation, but I think we're all better off with fewer lengthy explanations.
Thank you. I don't believe there are any other comments or questions at this moment, but Mr. Levy, are you amenable to an extension on this advisory opinion request until December 7th?
Yes, I am, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. And as I said, it's possible that we'll have a decision for you before then, but we put it till December 7th in the event that we wanted to discuss this again at the next open meeting. Madam Vice Chair.
In the absence of an immediate election coming up, there is no reason to unduly tie your hands.
Okay. Thank you. Madam Vice Chair.
I also appreciate that, Mr. Levy. I just wanted to state that since we did get one comment just before we walked in the door, and for all we know there will be others, I want to make sure Mr. Levy knows that he's free to submit written comments on if he comes up with something else that he wants to say about draft A or draft B, if he wants to comment on the comment or on any other comments that we may or may not receive, I would be happy, we'd be all happy to read them. So that opportunity remains out there.
Yes, it does. Comment away.
Excellent. I appreciate the opportunity, but shall try to keep my pencil down.
Okay. Thank you very much for joining us this morning, Mr. Levy.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity.
Take care. Thank you.